Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
Something happened in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're just going to read that first verse, 2 Samuel chapter 11. It says, "In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem." And the first part I really want you to see there is this: when kings go out to battle. The Bible is telling us here that this is a, I was thinking about, there's times a year that represent different, right? We're in summertime, so that represents school being out and all that kind of stuff. I have a countdown clock in my head that it's 152 days till deer season opens. It is 84 days until college football starts. Anybody with me? I mean, there are times when we know we're supposed to be doing something, and here it is. Kings go out to war in the springtime, the Scripture tells us. But what did David do? But David remained. He sent people in his stead. Now listen to me. We all have the elementary disciplines that we know we should be doing. I mean, it's not things we should be praying. I mean, you don't have to pray about if you should be praying. Right? You don't have to pray about if you should be reading your Bible. You don't have to pray about if you should be fasting, as Derek talked about last week. We know the things that we should be obeying because Scripture just openly tells us. It tells us, like, number one, love God, love people. That's not something we got to pray about. Yes, you are called by God to love people. Even the people that annoy you. Even the people that go in the wrong turn at a four-way stop. Even the people that go slow in the fast lane. You're to love every one of them. You're to love God and love people. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We are called to love God and love people. That's not something we got to pray about. That's something we should, just as kings are supposed to be going to war in the springtime, we should be loving God and loving people. Are you following me now? We are to share our faith. That is not an option. It doesn't matter if you're scared. It doesn't matter if you don't know what to say. You are going to be held accountable if you obey what is clearly said in His Word. And He tells us to share the gospel, to be witnesses, to share our faith. The Bible tells us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15. What's our value here? Something that we live by. Found people, find people. If you've been found by the grace of God, then go find somebody else like Andrew did and bring them to faith and grace. We share our faith. We're also to be a friend of faith. And I want to read this verse in more detail, but I'm going to look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Be a friend of faith. What does that mean? Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Oh, don't judge me. No. If you're fixing to fall in the trap of sin, for me to be obedient to God's word, I have to be a friend of faith. That's really good preaching right now. I mean, if you are about, I'll never forget, I can't remember how old I was. I was young, I don't know, maybe older elementary school. And, grew up in the big town of Big Lake, Texas. You know, back then it was like, even it was sad. You know, I mean, we were about 2,000 people. I don't know what it is now. The old field is rolling that town up. But when I was there as a kid, and I'll never forget something. It is one of the, probably the most near-death things I've ever had happen to me. And, when you live in a town that small, you don't really have to worry about busy streets. right? You don't have to worry about busy streets. And so I'll never forget it. Me and some of my friends were on my curb at my house, and we're going to walk across the street to my nanny's house that lived across the street, because the whole family lived in, you know, this one block, all the aunts and uncles, everybody. And we're headed over to my nanny's house, and because we already raided my pantry, we're going to raid hers. She was the closest one that I knew her house was unlocked. And so I'll never forget it. I go to take a step into the street, and one of my friends grabbed my shirt and yanked me back. I'm like, what are you? And about that time, an 18-wheeler, came inches from the curb. Inches. And I'll never forget that moment. And you know what my response was? You dummy, why'd you do that? No, that's not the way we respond, is it? No, we are grateful. You kept me from an early death. You kept me from being a pancake underneath a semi tire. And it's the same way with a friend of faith with those around us. Listen to what it says. Keep watch on you. But yeah, we are a friend of faith, and we're going to restore those with a spirit of gentleness. But keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. Listen to what it says, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens so to fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let me read that to you in another translation, the New Living. I'm speaking out of the ESV as most of the scriptures this morning, but I want to read that one verse, that last sentence in the NLT. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Amen. Don't shout me down. And number 4 is this. There is a biblical principle about being there. That's number 4 if you're filling the blanks. Be there. Proverbs 31 tells us, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all those who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. I'm going to tell you something. As a believer, you need to be there. You need to be there for people. You need to be there all in. And if like what happened a few moments ago through worship, and you feel like on the outside that really didn't impact you of all, my suggestion to you would be, no, be there. Be there in God's presence. Be there in worship. Be there in serving. Be there in working for the Lord. Be there in living right. Be there. You can't, remember when I talked to you about that you're either a chicken pot pie Christian or a TV dinner Christian? We can't divide up our life. God is not interested in this certain areas of our life. He is interested in our life. So be there. Be there. So listen to me really quick. God uses difficulties to get our attention. God uses difficulties to get our attention and as fertilizer for our growth. See, what I'm talking to you this morning about when God seems silent. See, last week I talked to us that God does speak. He does speak to us. He does want to communicate with us, and he does that in many ways. Remember, godly friends, impressions in our heart through the word of God. God wants to speak to us. But I'm going to tell you this morning is that there's times in life where we'll go through a difficulty, but it's to get our attention and as a fertilizer for our growth. It's something that is for our good. C.S. Lewis said this. I thought this was a pretty interesting quote. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. You see, if you're going through a difficult time right now and you're thinking, I'm still not hearing the voice of God, I want to hear the voice of God, I'm going to tell you, if you're at a difficult time in your life right now, that so many times, that is, as C.S. Lewis says, that's God's megaphone to get your attention. God will confirm to you his message in one of 3 ways. Whenever you read his word, whenever you have an impression in your heart, whenever somebody with godly wisdom comes to you and speaks, he's going to confirm his message to you in one of 3 ways. Confirmation, comfort, correction. And we like the confirmation. We like the comfort. Come on now, right? We like those times of peace. And or maybe God's been dealing with us and somebody walks up and gives us a word of knowledge, and it's a confirmation of what we've already felt in our heart. And we're like, yeah, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to take this step. I'm supposed to walk this path. Or we just feel that peace of God and that it's that comfort that wraps us and surrounds us. But I'm going to tell you, when God is bringing his correction, It's not always just feel good. I mean, it's not like you get goosebumps. Oh, God's correction's coming. That's usually not the prerequisite, right? I mean, it doesn't always feel good. But listen to me. Silence from God may be an indication of deeper issues. Listen to me very carefully. I wouldn't share this word to our church if I didn't love our church. The reason why God seems silent so many times in our life is because of two things: disobedience and distraction. Disobedience and distraction. See, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, we see in the spring, you know, there's these things we're supposed to do as the people of God. Kings go out to war. We pray, we love God, we love people, we share our faith, we give our tithe. There's these things we do because we want to walk in obedience, and Scripture lays it out to us. There's things we should do, but there was something very detrimental that happened in David's life. This is the man after God's own heart. This is man chosen to be king of Israel by God, and it says something, but David remained at Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you right now, you can never remain where you are at. Never. Never, 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 never. What your walk with God always has to be progressive and moving forward and running that race set before us. If you are stagnant, there is no just holding ground or plateaued. That means you're rolling back. But David remained in Jerusalem. People disobey for two reasons: ignorance or sin. Ignorance or sin is why people are disobedient. I mean, I fully understand some, you know, if you in here in this house, if you're a new believer, you probably have not read God's word cover to cover. And you know what? That's okay. We learn, we grow. It's a process. I mean, I'm in this for almost a quarter century now, and there's still something I'll read and I'll be like, oh man, God's word tells me this. I got to step out and start living this way because I haven't been doing that right in my life. And so sometimes we walk really in a disobedience and not realize that it's not that, and I'm not saying, and please listen to me, this is not to bring condemnation or be judgmental. I mean, I don't believe that as we live life, we pray for forgiveness of sins we don't know we've committed. But as you grow, as you mature in your faith, you're going to find out things in Scripture of how you should alter the way that you live. And your heart needs to be open to what God's word will tell you. Your heart needs to be open to what people, godly people, speak into your life. I'm going to tell you, there was a man that got saved one time, and he read about how that he, you know, that he was a temple of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, and so he said, you know, if I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, I only need to put good things in my life. And that's how many of you kind of interpret that, you know? But the way this guy interpreted, he's like, you know what? That means I need to buy the most expensive bourbon to drink because I only good things need to go in my life. That is not what that means. Are you following me? That is not the interpretation of that passage. People disobey because of ignorance or sin. Ignorance can be overcome with good teaching and application, but willful ignorance instead of pursuing God's truth is a whole different matter. Truthfully, ignorance isn't really the problem at all. It's the lack, and listen to me, it's the lack of connection with God and His presence being involved in your decision-making in your life. See, of all these steps and all these things I preach about, I'm going to tell you something. If you would just abide with Jesus, if you would get into His Word and have a devotion time every day, if you would have a communication, not just you just pouring some stuff out on Him, but it be a two-way communication of you talking to God and you listening when He speaks, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a rare thing that you miss God because you're walking with Him. You're moving with Him. You see, the Bible says, I know we don't like to hear this, but the Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And I'm going to tell you, when you walk with, I'm not talking about like ignorance, you don't know. I'm talking about when you are living your life out and you're walking willfully disobedient to the Lord, you're going to have a difficult time abiding in Jesus. Oh, me. Okay. It will get better, I promise. If it seems silent, if God is silent and distant, it may be indication that our selfishness has clogged our ears. The Holy Spirit will clarify to you the truth about what sin is. I'm just going to cut to the quick. I'm going to get right into it. Listen to me. You know what God's word says about honoring him with your money. But if you spend it on something else or something you want or feel like you need to save it to feel safe, I'm not saying not be frugal. I'm not saying don't be budgeting. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible says to bring your 10% in the storehouse. And if you're not doing that, you are not a giver. You're a thief. If you don't go by God's standards for a relationship, yet when you date someone, he tells you not to date, you're moving forward in disobedience. Or you cross beyond a clearly defined sexual boundary and you move in together, that's disobedience. God prompts you to get involved in ministry, but you make excuses. I'm too busy. When things slow down, I'm not good enough. They don't need me. That's disobedience. God speaks to you and to say to do something or give something, but you just don't do it. That's disobedience. You gossip, manipulate, exaggerate, or use words to harm instead of heal. That's disobedience. Active, intentional disobedience will quiet the voice of God in your life. And it goes on to see what, let's see what happens to David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. It happened one late afternoon. So David, right, he was supposed to be doing something, but he remained. And then we see one late afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house. He saw from a roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. And so when he was supposed to be obeying God, are you following me? See, if he was in obedience to God, he'd have never seen that scene. He would have never have been tempted with that temptation if he'd have been walking forward with God. But he wasn't where he was supposed to be. And so now he has to face this temptation. And what Scripture tells us is that he fails. Let's process what's going on here. He's supposed to be at war, but he remained. Listen to me. Distractions will lead to a place of disobedience. As king, he could have anything he wanted. Anything. And so there he's on the couch. He's playing Xbox. And I say that intentionally. And he gets up to go get his Dr. Pepper. And he see, because he wasn't where he was supposed to be, he sees something he shouldn't have seen, and he doesn't have the strength to stand against it. That's what distractions do to us. I had on here just for time, I got to move on, but if you want to read about Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, I mean, you'll see a contrast that happens here they're here, and they're in Martha's house, And so her sister Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet worshiping, but Martha was trying to get everything in order. And Martha gets offended. I mean, she's like, Jesus, look. I mean, she's doing nothing. She's at your feet. Listen, let me do it in my vernacular to connect with this sermon. She's abiding with you, Jesus, and look what I'm doing. And Jesus tells her, she's doing the most important thing. I'm in the house right now. Are you following me? He says, I'm in the house right now. See, she's doing the right thing. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't ignore simple disciplines and all that. That's not what the Scripture teaches us. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll abide with Jesus, the rest of it will get taken care of. We can't eliminate all the pressures and voices that clamor for our attention. But we can learn to say no to at least some of those things in order to carve out time with God. Listen to me. These may shock you. They may not shock you. I mean, that word of the Lord about idols, I was like, God just did that. And here's why. Because I'm going to share some things with you. The average time watching TV per day in America, 4 hours a day. And people say they don't have time to read their Bible or pray. 4 hours a day. I'm not suggesting that, you know, every person, that's average 4 hours a day. Listen to this. 140 million hours a day is watched on Netflix. That means of all the, you know, that's adding up all the subscribers to Netflix. 140 million hours a day. American adults, listen. This blew my mind. American adults spend 11 hours a day watching, reading, or listening to some kind of media. The average time of day spent on social media, 2 hours and 22 minutes a day. I would dare say we have time for what we make time for. And I'm not just pointing fingers. I mean, I hear this. I need to hear this. The Bible tells in Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. There's so many places in Scripture, don't look to the right or don't look to the left. Let's look at the prize, the high calling that's in Christ Jesus that's been laid right out before us. And part of that prize is a live of life that we get to experience His presence. I don't want to make choices where I don't know that abiding with Him and that working of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want Him invading every area of my life. I want Him invading every area of my heart, every area of my mind, every area of my senses. I want to encounter Him. Why would I want to put something that would distract me from encountering Him? I'm not telling you delete your Facebook account, man. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, you know, quit DVRing and cancel your TVs and throw them in the trash. Unless you have a 65-inch and you can just drop it off at pastor's house. I'm not saying that. But we got to have discipline. We can't let idols get in the way of abiding with Jesus. Good news really quick. God is patient and persistent. God is patient and persistent. You see, if you get it wrong, if I get it wrong, and I mess up bad. My Father in heaven doesn't say, I knew you was going to do that. Tired of you. He's patient and He's persistent. The flip side of that is, but if we ignore Him too long, our hearts become insensitive and unresponsive. But if we will just allow Him to contend with our hearts and we will yield to Him. You know I use it for reference so many times, but when I was a missionary for Youth Alive and we were doing the school assemblies all over West Texas, New Mexico, and we do these outreaches and give the gospel to junior high and high school public students, it was so many times I heard intentioned Christian people, because we'd always train people in the community to pray with the students that came forward. And it was sometimes just at an earshot, I would hear somebody say, oh, but, you know, like it was a kid they knew, maybe they went to church with, and they would say, oh, you've already given your heart. Why'd you come? You don't need to come forward. And what we would teach is this, don't ever teach a student that. You know why? Because that'll teach them to not heed the voice of God. They responded for a reason. And whenever God contends with your heart, you need to respond. Because it's that practice of being responsive that tenderizes our heart and makes us tender to the Holy Spirit to where we hear His voice more clearly and clearly and clearly. Romans 2:4 tells us this, or do you presume on the riches of of his kindness and forbearance and patience. Listen, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. And then LT, it says it this way: don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? So here's the thing, King David. I mean, he just doesn't, it's just not about that he commits adultery with Bathsheba. I got to summarize this really quick. So he calls, see, Bathsheba was married. So he calls husband home because what happened was Bathsheba got pregnant. And so he calls husband home, and he's like, all right, I'm just going to call husband home. Husband and wife will do their duty, and then I'm in the clear. But something happens. Bathsheba's husband is faithful to David. He's like, I can't. I'm just going to camp out. I'm not going to go be with my wife. I'm just going to camp out outside because I'm going to serve the king. And so David realizes, okay, this isn't going to work. So then he tries to cover it up, which we do with sin so often. Is that he sends Bathsheba's husband to the front lines because he knew in those front lines a battle would be fierce and that he would be killed. And so David gets a report back that sure enough what happened is that he gets killed. And so David, I know personally probably I'd be thinking, all right, I got away with it. But then there's the prophet of God. And if you jump forward to 2 Samuel chapter 12, you'll read about the prophet and about a guy named Nathan. And he comes to David and tells a story. And he tells a story, just very short, of injustice. And he does this illustration. I'll let you go back and read it. 2 Samuel chapter 12, the verse 7 verses there. And so he talks about this story about a rich man and a poor man and how the poor man was treated with injustice by the rich man. And in verse 7, it said, Nathan said to David, you are the man. You're the one that this story is about. Because Nathan asking him, what do you think should be done? And he's like, justice should be done. That rich man should be punished. And Nathan says, you're the man. Wow. That's pretty intense. But what I want to remind you is the way David responded. Because David, as the king, he could have called in for his soldiers and said, take care of that prophet and kill him. Cut his head off. I don't want to hear what he has to say. He's offended me as the king of this nation. And he could have responded so many ways, just like we do when God is stirring and working in our heart and contending with us. We can respond in so many ways. But what we see about David and what makes David a man of God's, after God's own heart, is found in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13. And here's what we read. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin. That's all it takes. You see, sin must be confessed. The Bible tells us, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. We have a forgiving God. Your God will forgive you. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's adultery. It doesn't matter if it's a drug addiction. It doesn't matter if it's rebellion. It doesn't matter if it's manipulation. It doesn't matter if it's gossip. It doesn't matter what it is. God will forgive you. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. He'll make you a new creation. And the old will be gone. And he'll make everything new. It doesn't matter what's been in your thought life, he'll forgive you. It doesn't matter what you've dreamt about, he'll forgive you. It doesn't matter what lies that you've told, he'll forgive you. Why? Because he's full of that grace and that mercy, and he gave his son for us to die on a cross that we would know the forgiveness of sin and could be in right relationship with him. He'll forgive. He'll forgive, he'll forgive, he'll forgive, he'll forgive. You may have asked for forgiveness 10 times, 100 times. It doesn't matter. He'll forgive. There's forgiveness for us today. There's forgiveness for you today. It doesn't matter the secret sin. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what nobody else knows. God knows and He forgives. He washes, He cleanses, He restores. He makes you like it never happened. Did you hear what I said? He makes you like it never happened. So sin must be confessed to be forgiven. But also this, listen to me, we must turn from it. We must turn away from sin. We've got to practically do what we need to do to turn away from sin. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 and 20. Listen to this promise. Repent therefore and turn back from your sins. Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Wash, cleanse is what that's saying. Listen, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, if it feels like that God has been silent in your life, you really need to do a heart check and a heart search and say, God, why does it seem that you're silent in my life? And I would dare say to step out on a limb and say, maybe there's some willful disobedience somewhere inside your spirit, inside your heart. But if you would repent from that and turn away from it, the Bible says that God will refresh you. He'll restore you. If you want to feel that presence of the Lord and blow those snot bubbles and know those goosebumps that make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, then get right with God. And He'll send you His Holy Spirit. And He'll surround you. And He'll renew you. And He'll restore you. Oh, church, this is a good word. We must turn away from it. Don't go back to the enemy. Listen, so this, I believe with all of my heart this is a word of knowledge for somebody. I do. You need to know the enemy has lied to you, and you don't have to believe that lie any longer. The enemy has told you you have to go back, that you can never change, and that is contrary to the promise of God's word to you. God's word says to you that you do not have to sin anymore. You do not have to be in that bondage anymore, but you can turn away from it and walk free from it. That's for somebody in this house this morning. Here's the third thing. When you're right with God and you're abiding with Him, listen to me. Expect God to speak to you. Expect God to speak to you. Expect God to speak to you. Always, 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 always listen for His voice. Would you please stand with me this morning? Would you just give me a few minutes? We had a move of God this morning in worship. And I know it's just a few minutes after noon. Would you just give me a few more minutes? In Psalm chapter 51, we read pretty much David's journal on what happened when he came to repentance and asked God for forgiveness with the adultery that he committed and the murder that he committed. Now, it starts in verse 1, and it's a powerful, if you've never read Psalms 51, I encourage you to. I know there's been times in my life, especially early on, where I just felt gripped by sin. I mean, you know, it's like that scripture that Paul wrote. You know, I know that I need to live this way, but I can't live this way, and I want to live this way, but my flesh is weak. And, you know, that's that whole battle of living right for the Lord. I'm going to tell you, there are so many times that I would lay down on my living room floor with my Bible open to Psalm 51 and cry out these words in this chapter. But I just want to draw your attention, beginning in verse 10. It says this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with a willing spirit. And listen to what it says. I love this part. I really do. And I will teach transgressors your ways. And sinners will return to you. You see, what the enemy has meant for evil, God turns it for good. You thought you were distant from God. You thought you in his rebellion towards God. You thought sin separated you. And then you come to him and you ask him to forgive you. And you know what God's promise is? He'll forgive you and make you his evangelist. Isn't that awesome? He says, you know what? And we get worried about it, don't we? Well, they know what I was like. They know of how terrible I was. They know what a reprobate I was. And so that makes you the perfect evangelist, because God's restored you and put you in right relationship with Him. And now you are standing as a child of God. And that, my friend, is being a witness. Amen. That if God can do it for you, He can do it for anybody.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.